This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Our second speaker is Dr. Shukmay Ho. Dr. Ho is internationally recognized for her expertise in the role of hormones and endocrine disruptors on disease development, including tumorigenesis of the prostate, ovary, endometrium, and breast. Her current research extends to developmental bases of disease susceptibility by applying epigenetics to epidemiological studies, addressing two of the important challenges of research in environmental exposure and human health. Those challenges being multiple exposures at various developmental stages and also the transgenerational effects of exposure. Her recent findings on endocrine disruptor exposure, including bisphenol A, raise concerns about in utero exposure to endocrine disruptors in food and drinking water. Dr. Ho is a member of the Integration Panel of the Department of Defense Congressionally Directed Prostate Cancer Research Program and is on the Emerging Science Committee of the National Academy of Science. Her work has contributed to the recently passed toxic toy bill in California, and the reexamination of the risk of bisphenol A by the National Toxicology Program. Dr. Ho also serves as the director of the NIEHS-funded Center for Environmental Genetics at the University of Cincinnati and the director of the Genomic Microarray Lab at the university. Dr. Ho.
So what I like to do is to really bring up this fact. And we can see that, for example, in one generation, the Asian American immigrants from Asia has very low breast cancer risk. And then with each generation, their breast cancer risk increases. And we can clearly see that basically their obesity is also increases within the second generation. So many of these perhaps is related, not just related to genetics, but perhaps with other factors such as the environment. And we know that collectively, 35% of cancer is actually being able to be modified or changed by diet. Now, we are addressing this particular window. I just want to point it out, but we don't forget that all these are the other windows that we have to really be looking at. So let me just give you the hypothesis for this particular BSERP funded program. It's not on prostate cancer, but it's on breast cancer. And what we're looking at is a very complex situation where we're looking at dietary fat in combination with a bisphenol A, which is a common endocrine disruptor, and how they impact the growing fetus in a transplacental way. So it is based on studies that were done by Dr. Lena Clark and basically looking at, like, for example, the corn oil, very high levels of corn oil will really increase the early onset of puberty and also increase what we call a carcinogen-induced mammary tumor. That was published in 1997, and also recently, Dr. Jose Russo, who's actually in the room, actually have this study showing that the post-conception oral gavage of bisphenol A, 250 microgram per kilogram body weight, will shift this chemical-induced window from day 50 to day 100. That means delaying it, and it will also increase tumor incidence, but there's no change in the onset of puberty. So in our study, we want to combine these two and ask a very complex question of what is happening with your dietary fat and also the bisphenol A combination. And we're going to examine a couple of things, including, for example, epigenetics and also hormonal levels, as well as some of these cytokines that is released by, that is regulating appetite and obesity. And the most important thing is we want to examine both the developmental breast here and later on what is going to happen to the breast cancer risk. So the experimental design is relatively simple. So the exposure is actually, these are the groups. One group have actually what we call a very, very clean, like no estrogenic diet, no phytoestrogen diet throughout life. And then all the mothers are actually exposed to high fat. These are the groups. And under this high fat, we use butter, which is quite complex. And it's cultural, too. It's cultural to this Western diet. And under that, we have like different doses of bisphenol A, and they're in microgram per kilogram body weight. And you can see that what the reference dose for the U.S. EPA is at this dose. So we are franking it. And not only that, after this, we are actually acclimating the animal, the moms, prior to conception to these kind of diets. And then later on at the day 50, we will be actually inducing, putting a chemical to induce cancer and look at the tumors that are developed. So, but at the during the time of lactation, the mothers are actually back on the AIN diet, which has no estrogenic levels. Now, in order to achieve this kind of low dose, we have to really be very careful to have a highly controlled bisphenol A-free environment. And you can see that all these are the precautionary steps that we had taken to make sure that all the animals are not exposed, because we know all of us, that 95% of us here sitting in this room are already have bisphenol A in our body. So in order to make us really ensure that the control animals are very clean, they really have to use all these highly controlled bisphenol A-free environment. These are the findings, and I'm going to go through them relatively quickly. The first one that is actually interesting is that the maternal exposure does not affect the body weight or the food intake of the female offspring except for this particular group. And notice that this group is 25 microgram per kilogram body weight of bisphenol A is actually tenfold lower than the U.S. FDA, U.S. EPA recommended dose. So this is one of the doses I want you to notice. Now, then following that, we look at what happened to the leptins here, and also for the adipoleptins. And I actually give you an idea of like what leptins will do. Leptins will rise with more fat content in the body, and it actually acts as a negative regulator for body weight. So these are the changes we're seeing very, very early, very low doses, in very low dose level. Now, there is no change in estrogen, circulating estrogen, nor progesterone, or any changes in the ovarian or the uterine weight. So that's just to give us some sort of like background here. But what is most exciting and interesting to me is that this high-fat butter diet in combination with bisphenol A at very low dose, you can see this is extremely low dose, only is like increasing or delaying the vaginal opening, which is used to usually measure sexual maturation, by 2 days. So this is pretty significant. And this seems to be a very marked effect. And we're going to come back to that. And this is in actually agreement with Dr. Susan Pinney's reporting of peripheral chemicals associated with lower BMI, which we showed you earlier on, delay the onset of puberty, and also Gail Windham found PCB and also PBDE delaying puberty, and Susan Tannenbaum reporting that phthalate and BMI did not affect sexual maturation except at the highest BMI group, in which one of the phthalate was associated with delayed onset of puberty. So the other interesting fact is that we are seeing that it actually also affects the epithelial breast, epithelial density. Epithelial cells are the cells that are susceptible to cancer. So the dose that is effective is 250 microgram per kilogram body weight. And what is also interesting here, going back to this low dose, only these particular two low doses here we're seeing is actually going to affect the target of carcinogen later on. And these targets are these little buds here at the very, very end. You can see they're called terminal end buds. And these are the cells that are highly susceptible to any kind of later life carcinogens. And we can see that the dose we're seeing is actually really like an inverted U shape here. And there's no change in lateral buds as well as any number of branching points. Now, this is very dramatic. This dose, in combination of the high-fat butter, also affects the incidence of the number of animals that will develop breast tumors. And as you can see, this is the AIN diet. The high-fat, surprisingly, is actually lowering. There are fewer animals that are actually developed tumors. But I'll tell you something, the high fat is not that great. But at this point, the number of animals that will develop tumor is depending on whether their moms are given high fat or not. But comparing to this high fat butter group, we can see that if we add bisphenol A on it, 90% of the animals will actually get tumor developed versus the other groups that gets about 60% of them will develop tumor. Now, let's look at other parameters here. And where are the tumors locating? This is also very exciting. If you look at a rat, and you can see that these are the thoracic glands, these are the abdominal glands. And the majority, although we see a total increase, like an inverted U shape here, if we separate the number of where the locations are, we see that the most important one is that the tumor multiplicity, that means the number of tumor developed in per animal, is actually more in the thoracic regions, which is mimicking some of the local distribution of human tumors where we have the four quadrants of the breast and certain areas are more susceptible to it. And this is really exciting. There's no significant changes in tumor latency. I just want to show you this diagram. But what is interesting is that the tumor developed in the high-fat group alone. Like, this is coming back. We thought that the high-fat group was very, very good because we have fewer sort of animal developing tumors. But if those tumors appear in the high-fat group, this is shocking because the tumor grows so much faster than the rest of the group. So that gives us a very, very alarming fact. And in fact, the complexity is that the bisphenol A addition to it actually will bring it back to the AIN diet. So this is something that we can figure out at this point, but I just want to bring it to your attention. And there's wonderful information here. The contradiction is that now you look at the real effect is more dramatic in the abdominal tumors. So it shifts the location. So that's why we in human cancers, breast cancers, there's so many different forms. Now, let's look at cell proliferation. This is the cell proliferation. It mimics what we're seeing. This is the AIN diet. When you have high fat, it has lower proliferation, mimicking the lower incidence when we put give high fat to the moms. But at the same time, if we give bisphenol A a very low dose, it will push it back up into the high level that we see in the AIN diet. So that's one thing. Now, what about estrogen receptor alpha? It's different from what we just heard about the dioxin. It's actually dramatically increased. You can see the high fat versus the ones that high fat plus the bisphenol A at a very low level, like 25 microgram per kilogram body weight, is a dramatic increase. And this is done by counting ER alpha positive cells per acinide by immunostaining. So it's at the protein level. Painstakingly counting, this is ER beta, no differences. So we also look at two DNA damage markers. One is the hydroxy-2-deoxyguanosine, and this 8-oxy-DG is actually a marker for oxidative stress damage. The second one is the 0,6-methylguanine, which is a marker for any alkylating agents damaging. We can see that they are really heavily localized on all these highly proliferative developing terminal embryos. Now, finally, I cannot excuse myself for not talking about epigenetics. So basically, I want to make a simple story about epigenetics, if I can point to it. We can see all this DNA, is double-stranded DNA is wrapping around a little proteins, and those proteins are called histone 1 to histone 4. And we can add a methyl group to the DNA, or we can add all these post-translational modification to the histone groups. And by doing so, we can actually make the chromatin condense into very tight chromatin like this, or make the chromatin relax like this open configuration. And if a gene is localized in the open configuration, the gene can be transcribed and expressed and have a phenotype. If the gene is trapped here in this dense chromatin, then the gene cannot be transcribed. Now, what we have done is we finished this work already, but I won't show you because of the time. We finished all this what we call transcriptionally regulatory histone marks. These are two groups, activation marks and also repressed marks. When we are marking them with activation marks, that means that region is actually open. When we have all these repressed marks, then the region is closed. So actually, you can see that we finished all this, and there is no difference. Now, what is different is one of the marks that very few people look at, and this is the histone 4K20 methyl 1 mark, and it is only happening in the high-fat butter plus the bisphenol A 25 microgram per kilogram body weight group. This particular mark is increased, and it turns out that this mark has a very general overall chromatin Y of effect in impairing the genome integrity and also program DNA rearrangement. So that means it makes the entire DNA unstable. And then in the making right now, what we have done is genome-wide mapping of all the DNA methylation sites, and we also are looking at ER-alpha and also the O-methyl guanine transferase, whether it's methylated or not. And then we are also in the process of looking at the genome-wide nucleosome positioning. That means we want to know what these little bores we call nucleosomes, are located, whether they open or close, and whether that makes a difference. So that's what we're trying to do. And this will be my almost final slide, is the working hypothesis here as a conclusion. We want to ask the question of whether local versus systemic estrogen, we already ruled out, is going to affect estrogen receptor alpha and produce maybe promoting proliferations and giving rise to oxidative stress and other opportunities for the cell to actually DNA damage. And if the damage is not repaired, they will perhaps lay down some primary DNA sequences changes. The second thing we're looking at is how epigenetic is coming in. Without the primary DNA changes, what is happening? Are the chromatin being reorganized in a global or in a microscopic and local environment level? And both of those processes are going to be affecting the risk of breast cancer later on to incels in the adult life. So the hypothesis is that the prolonged puberty that is caused by the high-fat butter and bisphenol A certain level is actually going to increase the epithelial cell proliferation, epithelial cell density, allowing a longer time for DNA damage and also epigenetic remodeling of the chromatin, leading to integrity destabilization. Okay, so with that, I can tell you there are three ways of doing it. You're skiing down here, you're skiing down here, and if you have a combination, you have a different course. And these are And these are my recognitions of all the group here, but most importantly, I want to recognize my community partner, and they are the Pink Ribbon Girls, and they will give some of the exciting works that they take the lead and we collectively have done together. Thank you, Susan.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.